Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, companion, and tour guide through pop culture, Matt.
And I'm the far less awkward Cliff.
So, it's been like 6 minutes since the last time we recorded. Cliff, what have you been up to?
I have watched some excellent, terrible television.
Excellent, terrible. That is one of my favorites. I've actually been watching a show that's on a similar genre. So I'm interested to see what your selection has been.
Oh, I don't think you can beat what I got going here. I don't think anyone could beat right now Fuller House.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, I watched all 9 episodes of that show, and that came out on Friday night.
9 episodes?
Yeah, I think it's partway through a season. I don't really know. It's weird.
Even for a half season, that's a weird number.
Yeah, dude, I have no idea. It just, that was 9 episodes. I got to the end and I thought, is that it, really? It ends on kind of a cliffhanger note. Not that anyone really cares about this show because it's the same cliffhanger at the end of every single season. But, yeah, it's a show.
Yeah, I mean, I've no interest in that. I don't think I ever really paid attention to Full House back when it was even in, you know, reruns as a kid, so I have no reason to go check that out.
I can't explain it. It's terrible, and I watch it all.
Good job. Mm. Well, and yet you watched through the entire season, half season portion that they've released on purpose.
Yeah, I just had it on my monitor here while doing other things, my computer.
I guess that's about the level of attention you really want to be paying to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a couple of shows. Like, it's starting to get to that time of year when TV's back. I don't know how I'm going to make time for it because it's game time and TV time and kind of movie time.
It's everything time.
It's such a tough time to be alive. Mm. Oh, so much to do, so much to watch. Firstly, I've also been watching a couple of things on Netflix. I finally decided to give BoJack Horseman a try.
Oh, yeah. I always see that pop up. Is it any good?
It's pretty good. It's H. John Benjamin as BoJack. So, you know, he's Archer. He's everyone. Bob's Burgers, Bob. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. It seems pretty interesting. I think I watched like half an episode way back when and didn't super love it. But I gave it another try. And, yeah, it's going pretty well. Apparently, there's some really excellent episodes in the most recent season that dropped a week or two ago. So I want to sort of get up to those and give them a try.
Fair enough.
And there's one about anxiety or depression that's like a really astute look into the subject, which is weird coming from a cartoon about like a neurotic ex-famous horseman.
I was going to say, isn't he like an ex actor horse?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was the star of a sitcom about a horse who adopts 3 orphans and raises them as his own.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, lots of horse jokes, of course, and that's...
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like 3-4 episodes... No, actually, I am 5 episodes into that, according to Netflix. It's pretty good. There's also a dog who starred... Mr. Peanut Butter, who starred in an almost identical show about a dog who adopts 3 kids. But he's voiced by... what's his name? Always dressed in nice suits. Paul F. Tompkins. And he has a really good voice. So between him and H. John Benjamin, it's initial name, good voice, like synergy.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally not looking that guy up. Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mainly know him from the Thrilling Adventure Hour podcast, where he was one of the main characters through most of the storylines. But he's obviously been in a lot of other stuff.
Oh, he's been in tons of stuff.
Yeah. So sort of checking that out. And on the... less excellent side of things, just to see an up, down, up. I started watching The Orville.
The Orville was great. I really like The Orville.
Yeah, I expected it to be terrible because it's a Seth MacFarlane joint. It's like the first episode was bad. Like it wasn't good. It was leaning onto the bad side of like A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I liked that. That was a funny kind movie.
I liked the movie, but it had some awkward bits, just kind of leading into the misogyny and like race and gender jokes a bit too much, like the bad side of Family Guy. That's the reason I haven't watched that show in 4 years.
But yeah, it's Seth MacFarlane. If you're not down with Seth MacFarlane, then you're not going to have a great time watching any of his shows ever.
I planned to pass it up because Family Guy, American Dad, but gave it a chance because of Million Ways to Die in the West. The first episode, not a huge fan, so I gave it a couple more because I think I've said before, I like to give a show at least kind of three episodes to give a sense of it because the pilot is never representative of the final product. The second episode, I kind of got distracted, didn't really pay much attention. But the third episode was like a weirdly sensitive assessment of like gender and transgender issues, which I didn't expect from a Seth MacFarlane show. Maybe it's him trying to cover his ass for being relatively shitty in the past.
So wait, which one? The first episode is...
The first episode is they go to the research base, the time ager thing.
Yeah.
The second episode, I honestly can't remember what it was about.
I don't think there has been a third episode. I think there's only two.
No, they changed the airing time, so there were two episodes in a week.
Oh, okay, right. So I haven't seen the third yet. I only thought there was two. The second one was the one where they do the ripoff of Menagerie from Star Trek.
Yeah, that's right. The captain and the co-captain, who are Seth MacFarlane and the love interest from Million Ways to Die in the West, get kidnapped, and the super strong female security officer who's really young has to take charge of the ship and doesn't do a great job.
Hold on one second. You think the girl is the same girl from Million Ways to Die in the West?
His second in command, yeah.
The second in command is the girl that was in S.H.I.E.L.D. and in Million Ways to Die in the West, it was Charlize Theron.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're blonde white women. Are they really separate beings?
Well, I mean, one's Charlize Theron.
Charlize's impression.
We're talking about, what was her name? Imperator. What's his face from Mad Max? Furiosa?
Yeah.
She was awesome. And then we're talking about the chick from S.H.I.E.L.D., the one that they left the show because they were going to get their own show and then they didn't get their own show.
Yeah, I did not make that distinction at all. Wow. I thought it was just her again.
I guess all white people look the same to you, don't they?
What can I say? I don't see people. I just see blobs presenting entertainment. Different person. But she gave me the exact same vibe. I figured they were just sort of carrying on a working relationship. I blanked on the fact of being Charlize Theron. So the second episode ends with the big... CO dude who's like one of the token aliens on the ship.
Bortus,
because he is from an all-male race, which they made some shitty jokes about in the first episode. He's laid an egg, so he has to sort of gestate his egg, and then it turns out to be a female baby.
Which so is the third episode, super awkward when you see the shot of him sitting on his weird egg cushion, naked.
To be fair, though, pretty good prosthetic work, setting up all the, like, the weird ridges and alien stuff on his body, so he didn't just look like a human with face ridges, which was a Star Trek go-to. So the third episode's kind of examining, like, what it means to have a female baby in an all-male society, and is, yeah, surprisingly sensitive about it. I was just sitting there going, like, no, when are you going to make the tranny joke? Like, I'm expecting it. I know it's coming. And it never really did.
I'm not really sure it's... possible to have. So you got a race that's all one gender. Well, there's no gender. It's you just are that.
So yeah, monogender.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it even really possible to have a sudden division and have a male and female gender? I mean, do they go into detail about why it's different?
They have kind of a throwaway line that was overdubbed when they're all cooing over the baby and they're saying, oh, yeah, like. Only one female is born to the race every 75 years.
Okay, right. So they're not an entirely all... Alright, so it's not an all...
They don't require the female gender to reproduce or anything, but apparently they have them. But yeah, so it was like surprisingly good. It would be the kind of way of examining that issue that I would expect from an actual Star Trek episode, but couched in occasional kind of, you know, like blue jokes. So, yeah, like, I'm willing to give the show a few more tries because it hasn't actively disappointed me yet.
I quite enjoy it. I think it's very dumb Star Trek-y, but we haven't had a dumb Star Trek-y show in a long time.
Yeah, one of the things I did like...
It's always just been, like, it's just dumb, awkward Seth MacFarlane humor, which I find quite funny.
One of the things I did like was, I think in the first episode or maybe the second, they had a shot where the captain and the 2IC and all that sort of go off to go on an away mission. But rather than following them, they stay on the bridge for a while with the kind of tertiary characters, just having them chatting about what just happened.
Yeah.
Which is not something that ever really happened.
Gossiping and just talking dumb shit. Is that the bit where he finds out who she is and he just gets up and runs and leaves the bridge in an absolute panic?
Because that was one of them,
that exit was great.
Yep. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like a surprisingly good show. Also on the surprisingly good, well, not really surprisingly good, just good, The Good Place is back for season 2. It is.
And I watched the first episode, or the double episode.
Yeah. I really liked that show. I was so worried it wouldn't get a second season, and it did. And it seems like they're going in a new direction. It's Mike Schur, the guy who made Parks and Rec. And it feels like the same kind of season 1 to season 2 shift in kind of tone and overall direction.
Well, I mean, you get to the end of the first season and you think you know where that show's going. And then you get to the end and you go, nope, that show takes a fucking turn. And it's a great turn you don't see coming.
Enjoy this backflip we just did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where Parks and Rec went from like bad office clone to really good show, this has gone from good show to great show.
Potentially. It's still early.
Hmm. Oh, it's early days, yeah. So I don't know how well they'll be able to maintain this new hook, but I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. I love me some dumb Florida DJ kid.
Oh, Jason.
Yeah, Jason, yeah. Not Jianyu, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing in that show.
Yeah, so anything else you've been watching this week, or in the 4 days since we last recorded?
Not in the last 4 days, but I didn't touch on it when we did record, but a show that started airing last week, Electric Dreams.
Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams.
I love me some Philip K. Dick. He wrote some super trippy sci-fi shit, and that tons and tons of movies have been made out of his stuff that a lot of people wouldn't even realize is his stuff. Stuff like Total Recall, Minority Report,
Bicentennial Man? No, that's Asimov.
Yeah, that was Asimov, I think. I'm trying to think of some of the other movies that his stuff was based on. But like tons of like big sci-fi stuff was his. So it's good to see they're making a show. It's kind of Black Mirror-like in that each episode is self-contained within itself, based on and they're all based on short stories written by Philip K. Dick. Cast, different story completely, not linked. And so they're just making a bunch of episodes. And the one that came out stars Rob Stark in it as a cop.
Nice.
And it's a telepath.
Oh, the good thing, yeah.
Yeah, rivalry with, I guess, normies and teepees, they call them. And yeah, so there's a big kind of thing about, you know, there's the people going like, I don't want my mind read, freedom of thought, all that kind of stuff, with the whole like, well, clearly telepaths would be very useful for law enforcement, and that society's having to tread that line when some things happen, and of course it goes on from there. I won't reveal it because the show's the way this one unfolded, you kind of want to watch it to see where it goes and what happens with it.
Yeah. And just for a quick rundown of some other films that have been based on Philip K. Dick properties you may not realize. We got Blade Runner, Total Recall.
Oh, yeah, Blade Runner. I always forget Blade Runner because it's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is the actual story.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Blade Runner, Total Recall, Screamers.
Oh, yeah, I did know
that. I don't know if you remember from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Minority Report, Imposter, Paycheck, A Scanner Darkly.
Oh, yeah, Scanner Darkly. I should remember that too. I actually own that.
Yep. Next with Nicolas Cage. The Adjustment Bureau, which I don't really remember. Oh,
shit, yeah, the Adjustment Bureau movie is really, really good.
Mm. And then, of course, the Total Recall, Total Reboot.
Which was closer-ish to the book, I believe?
It was closer to the book, but didn't have the hilarious face-inflating special effects of someone being out on the Mars surface. It had
the same problem as the RoboCop reboot. You are making a movie, which the movies, I thought they were perfectly good movies. They were perfectly fine. They weren't outstanding, but they were perfectly fine. But they weren't the legendary Total Recall or the mythical RoboCop. And so you're not on the back foot already, which kind of sucks because I did enjoy both those movies. They're both cool.
Mm.
But yeah, they're just not. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Also, The Man in the High Castle is Philip K. Dick.
Yes, it is. I've got that as well.
And I'd forgotten about this, but they made a TV sequel to The Minority Report.
Which really?
It was in 2015. It got 10 episodes, maybe? Yeah, so not great. There's some other movies coming up, but I don't really recognize them. The King of the Elves and Ubik.
Oh, they're making a Ubik movie.
Yeah.
Shit. I gotta get on that then.
Well, it's an advanced negotiation, according to the internet. Set to be made into a film by Michel Gondry. So he has done some good stuff that I can't recall off the top of my head.
Ubik would be. I'm very interested to see what happens with Ubik.
Michel Gondry did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh yeah, cool.
And The Green Hornet, both of which had really amazing effects. So
cool.
I expect a visual smorgasbord.
Mm. But if you ever want to read some really trippy sci-fi stuff, definitely get your hands on some Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
His book Varlas is basically a self-told, well, like an autobiographical account of his mental breakdown that he had in real life, where he appears in the book as both a pseudonym and himself at the same time. If you can figure out what's happening on in that book, excellent. I had no idea what was going on, but it was one of those things where you knew you didn't know what was happening, but you couldn't put it down, and you knew it was awesome, whatever it was that you're reading. It's that kind of trippy shit. There's a whole bunch of weird stuff in that book, but I definitely recommend it.
I'll have to check it out. Now we've gone pretty long on talking about stuff I've been watching, but I do want to touch on some stuff I've been playing as well. Have you been playing anything though in the last couple of days?
No,
of course not. I have, surprise. As I mentioned on the last episode, I was ready to download SteamWorld Dig 2, which I did, and it's very good, and I've played so many hours of it. It's kind of a Terraria-like game in that you're digging down into the ground, but it has a story and no building. So it's all about upgrading your sort of steam-powered robot person to get new abilities and sort of be able to break through like thicker rock, and you're searching for the protagonist of the first SteamWorld Dig game. So it's kind of cool. Like, the first game basically had a single mine shaft. You were just digging down and down and down and down till the end. This one has a main mine shaft, but then you go off to side locations, so they can have a complete shift in the visual style and kind of enemy types and all this kind of stuff. So you've got the main shaft, then there's like an underground forest area, there's a temple, there's a lava zone. It really keeps you on the toes. So yeah, basically you dig down, you sort of break up minerals and sort of gems and stuff, travel back up to the surface to sell them, to buy new upgrades, and sort of collect cogs which let you switch on kind of special perks and stuff like this. It's pretty much, there's always something going on, and it's really easy to die. So you have to be careful, because if you die, you get to keep some of the resources you've collected and sell them, but less than half on average. The rest just get destroyed. You can't go back and pick them up like you could in, you know, Minecraft or something if you died. So it's, I think it's all like designed zones. So if you die too much, you could end up like junking too much sort of income and end up not being able to buy all the upgrades, which is a great fear for me, so that I am very conservative about constantly going up to the service and selling all my shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, been digging into that. I highly recommend it. I also grabbed the original on 3DS, if you have a 3DS, because it was a short game. It was sort of a little indie title, maybe 4 or 5 hours long. This one I've put at least 10 hours into already, and still going strong. There's just a lot of digging to do, and I'm loving it. It's on Switch, by the way, in case I didn't say that. It's a Nintendo Switch title. It'll probably come to everything. Most of the SteamWorld games have gone onto Steam and everything.
I think it's already out on Steam as well.
Oh, really?
I saw an ad for it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know it'd definitely be coming, because SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist, the other two games that they've produced, have both been on Steam.
Let's have a look at the store homepage. No, those aren't those things. No. I'm pretty sure it's on there.
I swear, more than likely. Yeah, so I've been digging some time into that.
20 US dollars.
Nice. That's yeah, about the same price as what I paid on Switch, so not a huge difference there. The other thing I've been playing is a game that was sent over by Nintendo, also for the Switch. I'm really enjoying having things to play on the Switch. I can't wait for Mario Odyssey to come out in like a month. It's going to destroy my life because I'll play it non-stop. Pokken Tournament, which is a fighting game based on Pokemon using the Tekken fighting system, or built by the Tekken people at the very least. I never really played the Tekken games. I know people who love them. We've established I'm not a huge fighting game person in general, so I don't know why I keep playing them.
because it's got, like, part of Pokemon in the title. It's got three letters of it.
In the same way that I played Injustice because it was superheroes, I played this because it was Pokemon. It's Pokken Tournament DX, which is basically an upscaled version of the Wii U one that came out right at the end of the Wii U's life and didn't do very well because no one was playing their Wii U anymore. They haven't made a huge amount of upgrades. There's like one new playable Pokemon, Decidueye from the most recent games, who's the best Pokemon, so that's good. But yeah, not a huge amount of new content there, which I guess makes sense because you wouldn't really have that much player carryover. Every person I've talked to when I mentioned Pokken Tournament, they're like, oh yeah, I meant to get that. Never did. Yeah, so you sort of have multi-phase battles. It's, you know, it's a traditional thing. You've got to win two rounds to win a match. But they have kind of a free-roaming, sort of far-distance combat thing. And then when you sort of hit hard enough or get into close quarters, you enter sort of a left-to-right kind of 2D flat field close-strike combat thing.
Okay, so it's kind of a hybrid-y type combat.
Yeah, so you can sort of like get off particular moves to bring you into sort of close quarters combat and then really sort of lay into them. And then you've got like super moves you can use to sort of knock them out, which are all based on, you know, the special moves or kind of signature moves of the Pokemon in the main games. Like Decidueye, who I've mainly played as because he's my favorite. His move is based on his Z move from Sun and Moon, where he fires off a bunch of arrows from high up and boom, 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 very good explosions. But with a massive uptick in graphical quality because it's the Switch.
Can you play as a Magikarp and can you hit him with a splash attack?
No.
This game is junk.
But there are, so if you have your main Pokemon that you play as, and then you have a pair of support Pokemon, which very wildly, I haven't tried out all the combinations, there's, you know, you'll get like the fire and water starters from Gen 2, and then like the legendary Pokemon from later games, and just weird combinations.
Right.
So they might have Magikarp in there, that would be hilarious.
They need a Magikarp in there, and he needs to just always be a splash attack of some degree.
Yeah, just, I would, yeah, I should check and pick that one for all battles because it would be hilarious. Yeah, so it's got kind of a story mode, but not really. There's a, like a league, because it's Pokemon, of course, there's a league, where basically you sort of go through the four tiers of the league. I can't remember what it's like the green, the blue, the yellow, and the gold or something. There's colors. So, yeah, you sort of fight, you have to sort of rank up until you get to the top of that sort of tier of the championship, and then you can fight essentially a gym leader battle to beat the kind of gatekeeper to the next level of the league. But it's not like you fight 10 enemies, you fight the guy, you go up a level. I did a round of the, I think it's 7 battles you do in a row, and that got me from rank 100 to rank 28 or something. So I basically would have had to go through again to reach the top to fight the top guy. And it's just random trainers. You fight them, they have one Pokemon, you fight it twice. You knock it down with the same moves you've been using because you have a specific partner Pokemon. You don't just randomly pick a different one every time.
You can
change your main partner Pokemon. I don't know if it sort of carries over your sort of status in the league. I would hope so, because otherwise that's a huge amount of repetition. If you find out that you don't like a particular Pokemon.
Plus, Pokemon's kind of about catching them all and using whatever you kind of want. So it seems kind of crappy to be stuck with a Pokemon.
Exactly. Like, I can be sitting there playing with Decidueye or Pikachu or whoever and stuck with them. But at the same time, switching my support Pokemon out, which can be like fucking Cresselia or Lugia or some shit. Like, legendary Pokemon there to assist my shitty little, like, magic electricity rat. but I may be stuck with him unless I completely restart the league. I really should check that. Mm. Yeah, so it's kind of cool that there's a bit of variety in there, but the fact you're kind of locked to one partner Pokemon potentially means that you're not sort of getting to flip between different combatants all the time to try out different moves. Even just doing like a 7-round battle with Decidueye, I found it really boring because, granted, it's the lowest tier. It's like easy CPU battles. But just using the same moves over and over again with the same character didn't really keep me that excited. I was kind of bored. I was like, yeah, punch you a bunch of times till my super meter charges up, then smack you with that once. Cool, another perfect battle.
Yeah.
You do get to customize your trainer, though, so I did enjoy playing dress-ups.
Right, I was going to say, so it's got a 9 out of 10 from you already?
Yeah, game of the year.
Yeah.
I like that stuff, and it seems fairly easy to unlock things. Randomly, at the end of each battle, you'll be like, oh, yeah, like, you unlocked a new color of shirt, or you found some glasses, or a new haircut, whatever. I like that stuff. And you've got, you know, the usual multiplayer, local and sort of online multiplayer, so you can battle with other people. Which could work out pretty well for the Switch, being that it's so portable. But yeah, it just kind of highlights the fact that it really needs a Smash game. Even if it was just the last Smash game up-res, the same as this was from the Wii U, it would still be a good inclusion, along with your Mario Kart and all that. So yeah, if you like Pokemon and you like fighting games, it might be worth it. Especially if you didn't play the original, because there's not a huge amount of new content there.
I mean, plus it's also a game that was a Japanese arcade game.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Many years before it even came out in the Wii U, right?
It was around for a while. Like, the upgrade from Pokken Arcade to Pokken Tournament on Wii U was a much bigger improvement than Tournament to Tournament DX was. So I've been playing that. I also saw that Thimbleweed Park popped up on the Switch eShop, the new point-and-click adventure by Ron Gilbert, who made the Monkey Island games.
Oh, okay.
I want to check it out. I haven't gotten around to it, but it's fairly cheap, and it's got kind of like FBI Mulder and Scully clones in there and a sad clown. There's a lot going on, and I kind of want to check it out. But it's also coming up on the time when I will literally be beaten to death by new games, so I might hold off on it for a while. But it's okay, because in gaming news, big news, Super Mario Run got an update.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, they added a new mode, and you can play as Daisy now, I guess. Does anyone still have Super Mario Run installed on their phone? I don't think so.
Nope.
I got bored after playing two worlds on that game, so I can be pretty judgy on that stuff, but I don't imagine everyone is still out there playing daily missions or whatever the crap. Yeah. So yeah, that happened.
Woo.
Yay. In more exciting news, also confusing and I don't know why it's happening news, it came out this week that certification has been completed on an Xbox One and PC compatible version of the Duke controller.
Oh yeah, I did hear about this.
Yes, the Duke controller was the original Xbox controller, the giganto fatso controller that was too big for everybody's hands.
So if you want a controller that's way less good than the Xbox One controller, get it.
Terribly unergonomic buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy it. Like, it's past certification, so they're saying it'll be ready by holiday 2017, so end of the year. Why would you want this? It was specifically phased out because it was giving people, like, hand problems.
Man, it was massive. All I know is that the Xbox One controller is a fantastic controller. Why make a shitter controller come back?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because they got confused because the Xbox One sounds like it should be the first console, so they just said, oh yeah, we'd better recreate these controllers for the original. Oh wait, it's not the original, we're just terrible at naming.
The Xbox got into trouble with the naming scheme as soon as the 360 came out.
Yeah.
Just call it the Xbox Two. Who cares? You don't need to make up some sort of fancy new shit. Still, better than Wii U.
That's, yeah. Not that that's I did really enjoy... a hard thing to beat. before the Xbone was officially announced, everyone calling it the Xbox 720 was pretty funny.
Of course, yeah.
Xbox rotating on the spot.
Yeah, you could do a 360 and walk away.
Yeah.
That's a famous internet meme, if you didn't know.
Yeah. At least with PlayStation, they just stuck with numbers. Hasn't failed them yet.
And it made it super easy to park on, what's-his-faces, URLs.
Yep.
Domains. Yep. I'm just going to get sure all the PlayStation ones.
I'm sure at this stage, Sony have everything from PS5 through PS28.
Oh, yeah.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Just in case. Mm-hmm. But speaking of PlayStation, there was another gaming convention last week. The Tokyo Game Show happened. I didn't really hear much news out of it.
I was fever dreaming at that point. I didn't even know there was a thing going on.
Yeah. I've kind of been skimming the news about it because nothing kind of world-shaking really came out of it. The Sonic Forces game, the terrible Revolutionary Army, but they're furries game, which I'm so scared to play because I'm not sure how bad it's going to be. Because I played Sonic Boom, and that was not good. Also, the Sonic Boom character redesigns were more edgy. You'd think they'd be the ones they'd use for a game about a revolutionary war against Eggman and every villain that's ever been in the series, but no, they've gone back to, like, classic Sonic look. So, whatever. Mm. There'll be Shadow the Hedgehog DLC for that game, so you can play as Shadow the Hedgehog in the 2D mode, which, alright, I guess.
Sure.
Why not?
I mean, you can play as everyone else, I suppose.
It also looks like they've modified his face design, so, you know how Sonic has kind of the one giant eye.
Looks like he's wearing 90 sunglasses.
Yeah. Normally that entire space would be filled up with his eye, but on Shadow, it's like he's got the normal kind of helmet hair, and then the outline where you'd expect the eyes to go up, but then the eyes are a smaller space within that, which
kind
of freaks me out. It looks like he's wearing a helmet. I am going to send you a picture because I need to share this pain.
Yeah, it looks... Yeah, like he's wearing a like a wetsuit hood.
Yeah.
That's got the spikes attached to it. Like he's just wearing that over his face. And his face is actually
The inner space with his eye is a lighter shade of sort of black or grey. And then the ears and spikes that are different. So it really does look like he's just wearing a costume.
Yeah, it does. The point.
Maybe. Oh, God. Maybe this is a dress-up costume for the customizable character where you can pretend to be Shadow.
That might actually be how the system's going to work, where you just change that outline. Like, everyone's got the same basic, like, face model, and you just change the hood bit.
What if it's not actually playing as Shadow the Hedgehog, but you're playing as your, like, custom character just cosplaying?
Hey, could be.
I don't know if that's better or worse, but I think it's worse. So that happened, and it's probably the news I had the most reaction to. Interestingly, they, in the Sony presentation, decided to drop the news that Final Fantasy IX was coming to PS4 with all the, you know, the kind of speeding up gameplay improvements that 7 and 8 have gotten, and they dropped it during the conference, so it's available on PS4 right now.
And I think it's coming. You know what my opinion on this is going to be.
Yeah, I know. I want to replay that game, though, and having those kind of process improvements is very attractive to me. Although I do already have it on Steam, and I didn't stick with that, so... Yeah. Hey, put it on the Switch. I'll take it with me on the go. That'll never happen.
Do you have more chance of that happening, or Mario making it onto an Xbox or PlayStation?
I'm pretty sure Mario has been on both because of the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games games. No,
outside of that.
Oh, outside of the thing where it's already happened, you went another instance.
No. I mean, like, outside of at a sort of, like, a novelty game.
We've got Mario Run on iOS and Android. I think that's the closest we'll ever get to Mario leaving his home base.
Mm.
And no one wants him there. Other news from TGS. Not a huge amount of stuff. There's a new game set in the Front Mission world, like giant mechs fighting, called Left Alive, which... Like, they did a trailer that was a trailer that doesn't really say anything, so whatever. Death Stranding, the new game from Kojima, which stars Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead, might also have a heroine character. So that could be interesting.
Well, a character made of heroin?
Yes.
Sweet.
just a pure junkie character. Skimming down, there's not a lot of good, interesting news. Luigi's Mansion is coming to arcade. Alright. I guess that game kind of works for an arcade setting. Working your way through rooms, kind of knocking out ghosts would be a pretty good conversion. There's not really much else. There was another trailer for Kingdom Hearts, blah, 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 blah. So long name. HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
Oh, I saw an article today. I don't know how accurate or new it is, but apparently reports are that Red Dead 2 won't be released this financial year.
But there is an announcement coming up next week about it. Rockstar have dropped a clue on, you know, social media and stuff saying there'll be an announcement happening on, I think, the 29th. Saying something about Red Dead, whether that's a release date or a trailer or just some form of detail about the storyline. There'll be something next week for us to talk about. Which is good, because I keep forgetting that game's around because they don't talk about it.
No.
So, yeah, TGS, that was about it. They also had more coverage of Monster Hunter World, the Monster Hunter game coming to PS4, with like a massive graphical uptick from the usual fare on Nintendo systems, because they've kept it pretty portable for a few years. Everyone says it's great. I won't play it, because it's not Monster Hunter Pokemon like Stories was, so I'm not really interested. That's about all I've got. There was coverage about Mario Odyssey during the week. More reveals of weird stuff he can capture in the game, including a giant cube of meat.
Sweet.
So all it can do is kind of pulse and wriggle around, which is horrifying. But I still want to play the game really badly.
Pretty much everything in a Mario game is absolutely horrifying if you actually think about it.
It's true, but they're just kind of really just throwing it in your face at this point.
Mm. But it's okay, because it's cartoon, so it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine for the children.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll talk briefly a little bit about Destiny 2. I am dying to play Destiny 2, but apparently it takes another like 6 weeks or whatever of development time to put it onto a PC when it the does. Beta yep. was working fucking perfectly.
No, it takes forever.
It's just annoying because there's going to be people that are going to play and finish and do the raids and do everything and then stop playing the game by the time I get to actually play the game for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm happy it's on PC, but fucking hell, Bungie, give us the damn game. It's a bold move to have it such an offset because it's impossible to avoid any kind of spoilers and anything, any coverage about it because everyone's just playing it nonstop and the raid got finished within the first 10 hours of it being released.
Yeah.
On
the upside, with the like exotic drops and stuff, like the Xur or whatever his name is, I don't know if they'll just sort of simulcast them once the game does drop on PC, but that does mean that you guys would miss out on all the stuff that drops in the 6 to 8 weeks since launch, or if it'll be on kind of a time shift, which might work out in your favor, because if it's been a month and a half since the original drop on consoles, at least until they kind of eventually smush things together, you'll know how to get the drops, because people have already figured it out, and then you can just smash through and get all the fancy things.
I mean, that stuff's always out anyway. It's just annoying that I can't watch. I really want to watch stuff and I really want to play it, but I can't do anything because I have to wait for 6 weeks because reasons.
Because PC slowpoke race.
No, because they're the fucking master race.
Yeah, how's that mastery doing waiting an extra 2 months, buddy?
It's not quite 2 months, and it will look better than it ever will on a console, and it runs at 60 frames a second minimum on my sweet-ass supercomputer. So, yeah.
60 frames per second 6 weeks later. Still pretty slow in my opinion.
Oh, don't get me wrong, like that it annoys the shit out of me, but PCs will still be it's still the best way to play any game is on a PC.
Just not the first way. Apparently not. I might even finish the game before it drops on PC.
Exactly.
Which may add insult to injury because I, while enjoying it, don't really have any deep investment in Destiny. Sorry, Destiny.
No.
That's what all the people who are playing it calling it.
No.
How would you know?
Because I can't avoid anyone fucking talking about it because everyone is talking about it.
Yes, well, you'll just have to stick with Plunkbat.
PUBG.
Nah. Well, I think that's about all we've got for this week. Thank you for tuning in for your almost double a weekly dose of the endorsement for this week. Thank you for not yelling at us for releasing late last time. We should be back on the proper schedule moving forwards. With the possible proviso that in about a month's time I will be moving into state. It should be fine, but we might have some more delays.
Yeah, just be a bit more chaotic about when we can actually record.
Yeah. We'll have to figure it out. It's a half hour time difference, that's all. I'm sure we can manage it.
Plus you're moving to, you know, the crapness.
Oh, you're very against Melbourne, aren't you?
I just don't really like the eastern states in general. It's all very busy. It's what happens when you're brought up in South Australia. It is that, like, well, you know, you can go west if you want, but going east, bad.
Yeah, just as an FYI, nobody's told Melbourne that you guys have a war going on. No one over there knows about it.
We prefer that they don't know or even talk about us at all. It's better that way.
Don't worry, they don't.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I like it that way. It's good.
Yeah. When I moved here and someone sort of chanted kick a Vic at me for the first time, I had no idea what was going on, and I'm not even Victorian, so really had no effect on me. I was like, I'm technically Malaysian. Get over it. What are you going to do? The filet of Malay. It's not even that good. It doesn't rhyme properly. Idiot.
I mean, you made that up, so.
I did. But yeah, thank you for listening to us.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. Head to the Bandcamp and, you know, the Google and lots of other things that you can search for. He's on all of them. Definitely check it out. It's cool chiptune-y stuff.
Yes, it is good quality music sounds to put in your ear holes. While you're listening to it, though, you can also find us on the internet. I could tell you where. Endorsementpodcast.com or The Endorsement on Facebook, as well as at EndorsementPod on Twitter and Instagram. Feel free to contact us because we'd like to talk to you. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Tell us how funny you think it is that Cliff has to wait for Destiny when I can play it any time and don't really feel like it.
I mean, I don't really care that you can play it. And I can't. It's just bullshit. I can't play it.
I got this really good gun. It zip zaps. And then even though I have magic powers, I just go around punching everyone in the face. It's good.
For shame. If you want to get in contact with us on Twitter, you can get me at CliffandMonkey and Matt at Ponk. And if you've got any questions or comments or whatever you want to send via email, you can do that and send us an email to contact@endorsementpodcast.com.
Yes. We'd also love it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes, or Stitcher, or Podbean, or whatever else you listen to podcasts
on. What the hell's a Podbean?
Podbean is an Android one, from what I hear. I've never looked at it, because I don't have an Android phone.
Get Pocket Casts. That shit's great.
Pocket Cast is on iTunes, or iOS systems as well. It might be a better choice, because iOS 11 came out this week, and they changed the podcast app, and I don't like it. At all. So, yeah, check it out on one of the others. or maybe wait until they update this stupid app so that it works properly again. I don't know where they did it. It worked perfectly fine. I'd gotten it to do all the things I wanted it, and now they've broken it, and I hate it. Turn it back. Turn it back. But turn it back while listening to our show.
Buy an Android phone. That's what I'll be doing in the next couple of weeks because my phone is fucked.
My phone is fucked too. I'm waiting for the iPhone 10.
I'm pretty sure my iPhone had a motherboard failure.
That's unhelpful.
That's very unhelpful. I can't even access it in any way. But anyway, that is a issue that I will be dealing with for the next couple of weeks for a warranty over email.
Hooray! While Cliff deals with that, I've been Matt.
And while I deal with it, I will be Cliff.
Fun. And by Endorsement tradition, let's put you off to bed with our traditional farewell, which is don't check out summary websites about TGS 2017 because they'll autoplay the same video 6 times, including twice while you're podcasting.
That shit is the cancer of the internet. Stop with the auto-playing fucking videos.
I paused the video. What do you want from me? Stop it. Go away.
Stop auto-playing videos on any website ever. Just stop. It's bad. No one wants it.
Oh god, I just moused over the tab and it started again. Alright, we're done.